Good morning. It's my great honor and privilege this morning to share God's word. And the title of my message this morning is Serve Christ and Follow Christ. I will do an exposition and unpack the 17 verses found in John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Before we proceed, shall we bow our heads and join our hearts together to pray? Father Lord, thank you for bringing each and every one of us here this morning that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you also for the BB enrollment that we witnessed this morning. May your Holy Spirit anoint my lips, and may your word that goes forth touch the hearts of all your people and do the work of transformation in all our lives. In Christ's precious name we pray and ask, amen. 2 weeks ago, I was actually overseas, and I went to church, and then before the preacher preached his sermon, they invited a Japanese girl to give her testimony. And this Japanese girl said that when she was 19 years old, she was seeking God and searching for God while she was in Japan in 2017 when she was 19 years old. And then as she was seeking God, her friend brought her to the church. And after 1 year, she decided to surrender her life to our Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then she wanted to be baptized, she said. And so she went back to her mother and her brother and told them the good news that she wanted to be baptized. But the family came from a very traditional Japanese family where honor and shame is a very great part of the family. For someone to change her religion to Christianity was unacceptable to the family. And so the mother told her, truly, this is from her mouth, her mother told her that if she is baptized, the mother will kill her and the mother will kill herself. And then the brother also said that if she is baptized, the brother will kill her, but the brother will not kill himself. And so quietly, she said that she went for baptism. And when the family came to know about it, the family was furious, but the mother did not kill herself, but they disowned her. And she was left out in the street. And so she found a job, she went to church, and in 2025, through a friend in the church, she was recommended to come to UK in London, and there she served as a trainee ministry worker. Brothers and sisters, her story is not something that is very unique or unusual. Many of us will know that every day in the world, there are people like that seeking God and found God and saved by Jesus and then went on to serve Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to take you back to 2,000 years ago. In the Bible, there was also such an incident where a group of Greek people went searching for God and they found Jesus. And if you have your Bible, can you please turn to John chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. And this is the word of our Lord. John 12, verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit and not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from heaven, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the Lord that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtake you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And this morning, Jesus is calling everyone in this world. And the first point is, you must seek God and seek Christ. And so, 2,000 years ago, during the time of Jesus, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. And this festival is none other than the Passover festival that takes place in Jerusalem once a year. When Moses and the Israelites were in the wilderness, God gave the command in Exodus 23, verse 14. 3 times a year, you are to celebrate a festival to me, especially the male. And the first festival, the most important one, is the Passover festival. And 50 days later, you are to celebrate the second festival, which is the Pentecost festival. And finally, the third festival is the festival of Tabernacle. And so you can imagine, brothers and sisters, if I take you back 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, there were thousands of people gathering in Jerusalem because they have come from all over Israel and all over the world to obey God's command to pay that annual pilgrimage on the day of Passover. And if you are there, you will notice that in Jerusalem, the city of 50,000 has now swollen up and grown so much to 150,000, some people estimate, up to 200,000. And you can see there are a lot of noises, a lot of people, the young and old, the poor and the rich, they gather in Jerusalem. And you can hear the people selling and buying. And families gather together, gossiping, talking. And so that was the atmosphere when this passage was written. And there were some Greeks, which was very unusual. There were some Greeks among those who went to worship at the festival. Why the Greeks come to worship at the festival? It is because they were probably Jewish proselytes. They are Greeks who have converted to Judaism. And so they also obey the command of the Lord to come and worship at the festival. And in the morning, in this morning, if you read the verses, preceding verses from chapter 12, verse 12 to verse 19, you will know that on that day, it was Palm Sunday. Jesus has entered Jerusalem in a triumphant manner. He sat on a donkey, and the people proclaim him as the King of the Jews. Hosanna, Hosanna, God save, God save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And you see people waving palm leaves and putting their cloaks on the floor so that Jesus riding on the donkey, coming in peace and humility. And then the people in Jerusalem proclaiming him as the King of the Jews. And these Greeks, they were confused. They heard of Jesus performing many miracles. And here, in this scenario, Jesus is proclaimed the King of the Jews because the Jewish people wanted a military, a political king to dethrone, to conquer, to remove the Roman people that were in Jerusalem. And so they went to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus. We want to ask him many questions. There are many things that we are not sure and we want to know." And Philip went to tell Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus that the Greeks, some Greeks people, want to ask him some question. Jesus have 12 disciples, and you may wonder why in particular that the Greeks went to seek Philip and Andrew. Because among the 12 disciples, there are only 2 disciples with Greek names. And Philip and Andrew are the 2. Philip in Greek means lover of horses. And Andrew, the Greek name, means courageous. So the Greek people, they were seeking Jesus. They want to see the disciples of Christ who can speak Greek, who understand the Greek culture. And that is why they went to Philip and Andrew. And not only that, the Bible tells us, the words tell us that Philip and Andrew came from Bethsaida in Galilee. Bethsaida is the Greek word, compound word. Beth means home. Saida means fishing. So Bethsaida is a fishing village in Galilee. But Bethsaida is very unique if you look at it, because Bethsaida is a border town. It has a mixed population. There are Jews and Greeks who stay together. Because in Israel, on the west side, where you have cities and towns like Tiberias, Nazareth, Cana, Capernaum, they are all inhabited by Jewish people. But on the opposite side, on the east side, no Jewish people want to stay there. For example, in Decapolis. Because the people here rear pigs, non-kosher. So on the east side, there are people who are Gentiles, who are Greeks, who will stay there. And Bethsaida is a border town. And that is why you understand why Philip and Andrew, they adopted not Jewish name, although they are Jewish, but they adopted Greek names. Brothers and sisters, I call them bridge builders. Just like Pastor Mark said that the BB is also a bridge builder for Pantai Baptist Church. It bridges those who are outside, who don't know Christ, and bring them to know Christ. Brothers and sisters, everyone can be a bridge builder for Jesus Christ. You need to have the desire and the intentionality, and you need to understand multiple languages. You need to be friendly. And you need to look out for opportunities. So you and everyone can be a bridge builder. And for many years, because I'm a disciple of Christ, I want to obey Christ, the Great Commission, I'm very intentional to share the gospel. So last year in September, I attended a mission conference for 1 week in Dubai. After 1 week, the driver in Dubai, he came and took me to the airport. And I love this situation, brothers and sisters, because the driver is inside the car and he can't run away. I have captured him. And he is bored. He is bored and very bored. And I'm going to entertain him. I'm going to gossip the gospel with him. So I asked him, "Brother, can I ask what is your name?" He said, "My name is Munir. Where are you from?" "South Asia." And he turned to me. He said, I work here for 12 years and nobody asked me this thing. Nobody talked to me. I said, no, I'm interested in your life. I'm interested in your life. And that's why I want to know. I want to know. I said, what do the people sit? What do they do when they sit behind your car? They play with their handphone. They don't talk to me. You are the first one they talk to me. I said, brother, you are, where are you from? He says, I'm from South Asia. And how long you have been in Dubai? He said, I've been in Dubai for 12 years. I came at the age of 20. Do you love your job? Not really. I have to wake up at 4 a.m. I have to prepare my own breakfast. At 5, I have to go. And by 6, I start my work. At 3, I will finish. And then I will clean up, bathe. I will look at my handphone, look at YouTube. And by 6, 7 o'clock, I will sleep. And that has been going on for 12 years. What happened during these 12 years, brother? Can you tell me? He said, actually, in the 12 years, I got enough money. And that's why I came to Dubai. And then when I go back, after a few years, I got money, I got married. And then I came back to work. After a few years, I go back, my wife gave birth to a son. And then I come back to work, and then I go back, my wife gave birth to a daughter. And now it's 12 years. And I say, brother, why do you continue to work 12 years? Because I want my family to have a better life. I say, brother, I want to tell you something about this better life. We call it sacrificed. Do you understand sacrifice? He said, yes, sure, I understand. I'm the sacrificed. I sacrificed my life 12 years in order my family to have a better life. I said, brother, good. I want to tell you something very important for you. I'm a Christian. And as Christian, when I read the Bible always reminds me that my Lord Jesus Christ is a sacrificed. Why Jesus sacrificed and died on the cross? So that I can have a better life and you can have a better life. Do you understand? Sure, I understand. That's what it is, my life. Brother, do you want to surrender your life to Jesus? Yes, I understand what Jesus is doing. Then I tell you, you please pray with me, ABC. I Munir, acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I confess my sin and ask for forgiveness. B, I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord, he died for me on the cross. C, I commit my life to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. And this is not the only time. There are many times that I shared the gospel, asking the Holy Spirit to use me as his instrument. And therefore, being a bridge builder like the BB, like so many of you, I'm so amazed that so many of you actually are committed to be the bridge builder for Jesus Christ. Amen? And then when the Greeks met Jesus, they asked many questions because they were very curious. And Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus referring to himself as the Son of Man, the Son of God, to be glorified. That means he will die and then he will be resurrected and then he will ascend to heaven. But before that happened, Jesus told the Greeks and the audience that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a seed. Brothers and sisters, do you know that a seed of wheat, a kernel of wheat, if you put it into the box, it can last for 10 years and nothing will happen. It is only when you take the seed and you let it drop on the ground and when the seed dies, that the seed will germinate and grow and become a wheat plant, and then it will produce many seed, and many seed will produce many wheat plants. What Jesus is telling the Greeks is that he, Jesus, is the seed, and he is going to die. And he dies because he wants to save the whole world and everyone in the world, all humanity. But the Greeks may be wondering why Jesus must die to save humanity. Because your sin have cut you off from God. And if anyone here claim that they are without sin, you are the greatest liar. Is there anyone here that claims to be without sin? Yes, nobody raised up their hand because the Bible says that if you claim that you are without sin, you deceive yourself and you're deceiving others and the truth is not in you. And when did sin enter the world? You know, the Greeks are confused. When did sin enter the world? Well, at creation, at the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve not to eat the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve rebelled against God, went against God, wanted to become like God, and they ate the fruit. And because they ate the fruit, sin entered the world through one man. And then death came through that sin. And because we are the descendants of Adam and Eve, we inherited all the sin of Adam and Eve. And therefore, we all sin. And if we all sin, we will also die. Sin has made us enemy of God. Colossians 1:21 says that you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts, actions, and even your speech. And so a holy God becomes separated from the sinful man, or rather, sinful man was thrown out of the Garden of Eden because they are sinful, God is holy, and therefore they die the eternal death. But John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So it was because of God's love that God sent his Son Jesus to be that sacrifice on the cross to bring about reconciliation of that broken relationship that was brought about by sin. And how did this take place? Because when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, there was an exchange that took place. The sinless Christ was made sinful when he carried our sin on his body. And when he died, the sinful man was made sinless. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, in Jesus Christ, we become the righteousness of God. And we are righteous not by our good works, but by the good works of Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, if you believe in Jesus Christ, there is no longer any condemnation. You are now a God's masterpiece that is created anew in Christ Jesus. Last year in March 2025, I took my family to Japan and I registered my whole family to do this masterclass called Kintsugi. Kintsugi, Japanese, means kin is gold, sugi is joined together. And so I went to the class for 2 hours with my wife and my children. And then they gave us this broken bowl. All of us, each of us, have this broken bowl. Different broken bowl, you can choose. And then for 2 hours, we spent time meticulously to join the broken pieces with gold. Brothers and sisters, we are that masterpiece. For the Japanese people, the bowl that is mended whole is more treasured, is more beautiful than a normal bowl. And so when I saw a shop nearby, they actually sell this type of bowl and it's super expensive. Brothers and sisters, we are that broken bowl. We need Jesus Christ, his blood, to mend us whole. And that is why we are called God's masterpiece, created anew in Jesus Christ. And if we are God's masterpiece, we no longer go back to the life of brokenness and darkness. We must now, as God's masterpiece, as God's children, we need to reorientate our life and rearrange our priorities because we are a masterpiece. And Jesus goes on to tell the Greeks and the audience, anyone who loves their lives will lose it. Your former life was a self-centered life. A self-centered life without God brings eternal death. And Jesus goes on that now you are a masterpiece, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep their life for eternal life. We must now live a Christ-centered life, loving Christ instead of loving the world and loving ourselves. We need to rearrange and reorientate our whole life to fit into Jesus' agenda, that we want to glorify God through Jesus Christ, serving Him. And that is the next point, that once we seek Christ and we are saved, we are now to go on to serve Christ. We cannot be selfish and do nothing and fold our arms. And that is why Jesus goes on to say the next verse, verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. Brothers and sisters, after you are saved, the first step is follow Jesus. You must follow in the right direction now, in the direction of Jesus. And then you serve God. First, follow Christ, obedient to Christ. Then only you serve God. Then you are serving in the right direction. And Jesus go on to say, where I am on the cross, where I am on the cross, my servant will also be. And that is why in Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is telling us this morning that serving Christ must involve obedience and sacrifice. Without obedience and sacrifice, serving Christ is merely an activity without lasting impact or bearing any lasting fruit. If you want your life, whatever ministry that you do, it must be obedient to Christ, to the Word of God. And also many times it will involve sacrifice. You have to come out of your comfort zone. And I'm sure those BB officers and the NCOs, they come out of their comfort zone. They sacrifice their time, their effort, and their money in order to serve Christ. Serving Christ involves obedience and sacrifice. And Jesus Christ, His life exemplified obedience and sacrifice. And Jesus went on to the next verse, verse 27. He said, now my soul is troubled. Why his soul is troubled? It was this incident happened on the Palm Sunday. And Jesus knew that in 5 days' time, he is heading towards the cross and he will die a shameful and a painful death. In 5 days' time. And that is why Jesus said, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? And this is a rhetorical question that don't need an answer. Jesus said, Father, save me from the hour. No. No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Jesus knew that when he came down from heaven as God to earth as a human being, he need to empty himself and humble himself. He knew he has a mission to perform. And that mission was to die on the cross. And that is why on Thursday night after the Last Supper, 4 days later, Luke 22, verse 42, recorded again the conversation of Jesus with his Father in heaven. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. But Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Again, there's obedience and there is sacrifice. So, brothers and sisters, there's no longer any doubt that if we are to follow Christ, we must also serve and do ministry in obedience to Christ and sometimes even to sacrifice. And Jesus goes on to say that when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he's going to die. And Jesus is telling them that my mission to come down to earth Why did I come? It's because I am willing to die on the cross and I want to draw all people to me so that all people who are sinful, their sin will be forgiven and they can have eternal life. That was Christ's mission and he knew it very clearly. And Christ's ministry, how he did it was he obeyed God. He served God. And then he served others, humanity, by rescuing them and giving his life as a ransom for many. And before Jesus was lifted up, before Jesus was ascended to heaven, after Jesus died, buried for 3 days, he was resurrected. He was on earth for 40 days. And on 40 days, when he was in Galilee, in the mountain, in front of the disciples, he ascended to heaven. He was lifted up to heaven, and today he is on the right hand of the Father. And he gave his last commandment to the disciples. And we all are familiar in Matthew 28:19. Jesus told the disciples, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I will be with you to the ends of age. Jesus' last commandment is a very important commandment. And that is why the great missionary Hudson Taylor said, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. Don't think about it. It's not an option. It is a command that everyone must obey. You are safe not to stay at home and do nothing. You are safe so that you can become an instrument for Jesus to use to share the gospel and bring others who are lost and perishing into God's kingdom. And we are blessed by Christ to bless others. 2018, I was in Israel. And then I went to the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And many of you also have been to the Dead Sea and Sea of Galilee. And do you found out that the Sea of Galilee is a freshwater lake? They are full of fishes, full of vegetation. There are many cities and villages around the Sea of Galilee. Because the Sea of Galilee received fresh water from Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, you can see, is a snow-capped mountain. And then the snow will melt and the fresh water will flow to the Sea of Galilee. And for hundreds and thousands of years, as the Sea of Galilee received the fresh water, it will also give out the fresh water southward through the Jordan River into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, brothers and sisters, when Jesus passed by and said, it is more blessed to give than to receive, the Dead Sea never believed it. Does the Dead Sea for hundreds and thousands of years have been receiving fresh water from the Sea of Galilee? He kept to himself, kept the water to himself. Thousands of years passed, and the Dead Sea, the salinity has gone up from 0.03% to 33%. Astounding that even you jump to the Dead Sea, you will not die. It is so dense, and there's nothing that can survive in the Dead Sea. The Mediterranean Sea, the salinity is 3%. Dead Sea, 33%. You put a fish, you put a bacteria, you put a parasite, everything will die. Only thing won't die is the human being because it will float. And around the Dead Sea, there's no vegetation. Around the Dead Sea, there's no village, there's no town because it is dead. Brothers and sisters, it is a reminder to us that we must become the Sea of Galilee Christian. That as we receive salvation from God, as we receive blessing from God, we must allow this blessing and salvation to flow to others by sharing the gospel. Every opportunity that God opened for you, every day when you go to work, you meet somebody, ask the Holy Spirit, is it the right person that you sent to me that I should share the gospel? But sometimes it is not the right person, so you shouldn't share. Don't be a Dead Sea Christian. Keep the gospel to yourself and never share. Brothers and sisters, everyone should obey the Great Commission. I want to share with you another story that took place 160 years ago. There was a Scottish man by the name of George Stott. At the age of 19, while he was doing farming, one of the machines hit his left leg at the knee level. And the knee injury became infected, and he had to be admitted to the hospital, and he stayed there for 9 months. And with nothing to do, he prayed, he read the Bible, and he discovered that he has been living a life that is callous to the love of God in Jesus Christ. He has been callous in the way he lived his life for himself, although he was a Christian. And so at the age of 19 in the hospital, after the doctor has amputated his left leg, he made a commitment to serve God, to share the gospel. And so in 1865, when Hudson Taylor, when he prayed and asked God to send the 24 pioneering missionaries to China, George Todd answered the call. And he went for the interview to go to China. And the interviewers, the missionary, they were seasoned, looked at George Todd and smirked and said, "You want to go to China? You have no leg, you have one missing leg. Why do you want to go to China? Maybe we cannot use you. How are you going to walk?" But George Todd said, "I do not see those with two legs going. So the one leg must go. And I want to go." So Hudson Taylor fashioned an artificial leg for him. And he went to China. And only he went to China, he went to this Zhejiang province in a city called Wenzhou. And he started the first Protestant church in Wenzhou. And today, in China, the single province with the highest density of Christians are found in Zhejiang. 20% of the population there are Christians. There are 13 million Christians. And they say that if you go there, you will see many crosses. And that is why for the last 10 years, the Chinese government is very angry because they see crosses everywhere in this Zhejiang province. And I read that they actually, the government has destroyed for the last 10 years, 1,200 crosses. They don't like the crosses. The government told them, "You must hang the communist flag." But they refused. And if you refuse, we will destroy your crosses. And many churches were also destroyed over the last 10 years. Brothers and sisters, there's no doubt any longer in our mind that Christ called us this morning to every person that you must seek Christ. And when you seek Christ and Christ find you and you find Christ and you are saved, you must serve Christ. And this is in obedience, and sometimes there's involved sacrifice. And finally, Jesus ended his conversation with the Greeks, with his audience, that you must also shine for Christ. And this is the word of Jesus. Jesus said in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You know, every day we go about in our life, we look, it's very bright outside, and we think that this world is a world of light. But unknown to us, if you have the spiritual discernment, you will know that actually this world is a world of darkness, spiritual darkness. Everyone is walking in spiritual darkness. They are lost. They are without hope. And we know, yesterday when I read the news, 2 million people has been killed and injured in the Ukrainian war. The people need Jesus Christ, their only hope. And then also when I research, almost $1 trillion US dollars has been stolen last year by scammers. My relative have been scammed hundreds of thousands of ringgit. My friends have been scammed hundreds and thousands of ringgits. This world is truly, no doubt, is a world of darkness. And if we are living in this world of darkness, we need the Lord of the light, and that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will light up the world and grant us eternal life. And that is why Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Therefore, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light." Believe in the light. Why do you want to stay in darkness? There's so much evil and wickedness. We complain so much about the evil and wickedness. But here we have Jesus Christ, the Lord of the light, that grant us eternal life. Why don't we embrace Jesus Christ into our life? And if you are indeed call yourself the children of the light, the Bible tells us, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, not only we must share the good news, we must also share the good works. We must do good works so that people can see the Jesus Christ light in our life. The more we obey Christ, brothers and sisters, the more His light will shine in us. Sometimes you tell yourself, why I don't have the light of Jesus? Because you don't obey Christ. The more we obey Christ, the more His light will shine in us, and the more Christ-like we will become. Just as the moon reflects the light, so we reflect Christ. In this world, in the cosmos, we know that the sun is the source of the light. The moon has no source of light. But yet the moon, in different days of the month, reflects the light of the sun. And so Jesus Christ is that sun. We are the moon. But if we obey Christ, then we reflect the light of Jesus. The more we obey, the more the light of Jesus shines in us. So, brothers and sisters, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, obey Him, and the light will shine through you. And Mother Teresa says that if we are truly Christian, we must look like Christ. We must not look anything else. If we are Christian, we must look like Christ. And that is why Mahatma Gandhi has this indictment for us as Christians. If all Christians acted like Christ, the whole world would be Christian. If all Christians acted like Christ, the whole world would be Christians. And I want to share a final story before I closed. In 1838, there was a lighthouse in the northeast of England by the name of Longstone Lighthouse. In September, one particular night in 1838, was a dead lighthouse that was kept by the lighthouse keeper and a daughter by the name of Grace Darling. It was a very stormy night, and many ships were passing by, and so both of them lit up the lighthouse light, and the light shone for 20, 30 miles, and many of the ships that were passing by in this storm without direction saw the light. And so they avoided the light, knowing that there is the place where there's rocks, where they will crash and they will capsize and they will die. So that night, because of the light that comes out from the lighthouse, many lives were saved. In the same way, if our life has that light of Jesus and it shines brightly, many people in this world, our colleagues, our family, our friends, many will be saved. In the morning, when Grace Darling and the father woke up, the storm had subsided, but they saw far away, there was one ship that has capsized. And there were sailors that were hanging on the loose planks and hanging on the rocks. So Grace Darling and the father took risks, sacrificed. They went onto a small boat, they rowed, and they rescued 9 sailors. If they had not come, these 9 sailors would have perished. Brothers and sisters, I want to close by saying that we are that lighthouse. The lighthouse has no light. The lighthouse cannot shine any light. But inside the lighthouse, there is a light. And we must use that light of Jesus Christ to shine brightly in this world of darkness, so that the people in darkness will not perish. And they will come and surrender their lives to Jesus, and they will be saved. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, you are saved by Christ to serve Christ and to shine on Christ. There is no other way. Let us pray. Father Lord, thank you for your word this morning that penetrates deep into our heart. And we know that your Holy Spirit is working in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. And I know that some of you here, maybe the word of God, the word of Jesus Christ has touched you. And you feel there's something strange in your body. Maybe there's a tug, or you feel something that is warm, and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. I would invite you to raise your hand. I invite you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, because he comes to save you and give his life as a ransom. Would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you and that you can receive the light of the world into your life? Will you raise your hand? Those behind me also. If you want to receive Jesus, yes, 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 yes. Anyone want to surrender their life? Yes, 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 yes. Anymore, you want to surrender your life to Jesus? The light of the world, Jesus said, is only for some time. Would you want to receive Jesus into your life? Will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Anymore? Those, yes. Those who have raised their hand, will you pray along with me? Father Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation. I acknowledge I'm a sinner, and I confess my sin and ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to die for my sin and to give me eternal life. And this morning I commit to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Amen. And for those of you who have heard this message this morning and you feel that Jesus is asking you, that you want to shine your light more brightly, especially inside your family where those families are not saved. Also, you want to shine more brightly the light of Jesus in your workplace, in your recreation, or wherever you are. You want to recommit your life again. Will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Yes, yes, yes. Behind me. Yes, 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 yes. Father Lord, thank you for the hands that are raised. They are your children, the children of light that has eternal life. They want to make the commitment, Lord, that they want to let the light of Jesus not to be suppressed inside them, but allow the light of Jesus to shine out into the world of darkness so that the people in the darkness can see the light of Jesus and glorify you in heaven, and that they too can be saved. We thank you, Lord, for this honor and privilege that you call us your children. Thank you once again for the gift of salvation, not by our works, but purely by the works of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.